We have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is Jay Cranda, and I'm with Neil Smith. Niels, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And Jay, as we start this podcast, I feel like I owe you an apology. I hosted the last podcast without you, and I started it by making a crack at you.
Yeah, you did.
Saying that that podcast would be better without you. I'm going to say I regretted it the moment I said it, and I've had several people tell me, I don't know why you pick on him. He's really pretty funny. And they think I'm serious. Like, they think that we don't like each other.
Oh my gosh.
But Jay, I love hosting the podcast with you, and every episode is better with you. Even though that one, you know, got more listens than any of the other podcasts. It have you on the podcast than to not have you on the podcast. So,
thank you. I don't
happy like to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. I did hear that. I listened to it. Yeah. And once I heard you say
that, what was your emotion? What were you feeling when I made that crack?
I actually threw my phone across the room, and I had to buy a new iPhone.
So tell us about the new iPhone, Jay.
Dude, I'm still getting. For those who are watching on YouTube, I have the case. I got it today. I bought the 6S. I have small hands, so I don't need the Plus.
Yeah.
And my wife actually got the Plus because, my wife doesn't really have a computer. She just uses our iPads. And so it kind of makes more sense. She got the rose gold. Hers doesn't come for another 5 weeks.
Crazy.
Because it's the Plus. Because I was hearing somewhere like
this. She's got the Plus and the rose gold Plus.
Yeah. So it doesn't ship till October 24th. It's ridiculous. And so,
tell us what you're most excited about with the new phone.
Well, I'm most excited with playing around with the 3D touch. I think I don't have an Apple Watch or anything like that, so I know that's where that technology first was kind of played with. And so I'm really excited to see how that changes my behavior day to day. I mean, my phone is very much a core part to what I do and how I work. And so I'm curious not only how it works, but also how it changes app development. So if you have this extra gesture kind of by pressure, you know, how does that impact navigation with, you know, specifically with, you know, let's say church online or church apps or, you know, outward. And so people need to figure out the same way people needed to adjust. I had so many friends and, you know, maybe the same way when people went away from having any keyboard with BlackBerries, you know, there had to be this adjustment. I'm curious, you know, there won't be that much of an adjustment with a 3D touch, but how will people, you know, embrace it? And then how does it impact gaming and like basic navigation around it? Because ultimately, I'm really excited to the day when we go away from the home button and we have a bigger screen. You know what I mean? That's what I want. But I know that's still like Apple's, no matter what they do, they still have to deal with a client base and they have to kind of slowly introduce this. So that's what I'm really excited. I'm not excited about 4K video and all that.
Really? Not at all.
No, I don't need it.
That's what I'm most excited about. It's the 4K.
No.
Even though I think it's bizarre that Apple introduced 4K on their phone, but is releasing the Apple TV that can't do 4K. I don't get that at all. I look back though, Jay, and I had a Samsung Blackjack was my phone before I had an iPhone. And I remember thinking, why would you have a phone without a keyboard? You know, like you need to be able to, because I remember I could on that thing without even looking, you know, I could have it in my pocket. I could send a text message. And then, you know, but you quickly adjusted. I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't imagine going a week without my iPhone. Like I'm addicted to it. The other day, my phone died. I work in Manhattan now. And so it's about a 30-minute commute from home. and I forgot my charger. And so I was in, and then halfway through the day, I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? My phone's going to die. And I was working a little later, and it was like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and my phone was dead, and it was died for about 30 minutes. And then I had to travel home without my phone, and I was paranoid. What if something happens in this time? We're addicted to our cell phones.
Yeah. I want to say this real quick before, cause we're going to talk about Facebook notes and the dislike button, some of those things. But I started today, Elon Musk, a biography on him. And it's super, I mean, Elon Musk is, he's like the most, interesting guy in tech and, beyond all the tech guys in Silicon Valley look up to him, and he's just an intriguing guy. And he's trying to do stuff like sustainable energy. And he conquered all these, the car industry and then the space industry against Boeing and all this stuff. And he said something in there in the opening line when he's pretty much, they tell the story how this person got to kind of do this biography, and they're having dinner with Elon Musk, and he talks about how eccentric he is, and he ordered like lobster soaked in squid something and something crazy, and he just chows it down.
Yeah.
But how he says one of the detriments to our society today is that some of the brightest, sharpest people are lawyers or in tech, and how they're trying to make apps like Flappy Bird stuff. And really what we should be doing is conquering some of these world problems. Sustainable energy, of getting into like interplanet travel and all these things, and talked about how they have in their offices of like one where there's like the Mars, it's empty, and another a photo of Mars fully habited, and how it's kind of a motivational thing in their buildings, and how all these people are like doing these, he kind of, it felt like cheeseball apps that are like trying to get money and stuff, and he's like driving. And I just thought that was so funny, thinking about the conversation, how much the phone now drives things, and how even a guy like that thinks that's the shortfall. But anyways, all right, real quick. So I'll share that in the show notes, what I'm reading right now. But are you reading anything right now that you wanted to share?
I was just thinking, as we were kind of making this transition about Facebook, that we could almost call this the Facebook Church Podcast, that when it comes to social media, Facebook it continues to be at the core. For so long, we'll talk about some of the, cool new apps like Periscope or Snapchat or, Instagram, and Instagram obviously is an app of Facebook's, but, at the core of all of it, and I would say that a church could do none of the extra stuff, that's cool and fun and new opportunities to reach people. If they just did Facebook well, it could be killer.
Oh my gosh.
And I wonder if there's going to be a church that just says, we're hearing of churches just doing church online, and that's all they do. Yeah. If somebody would just say, we're just going to do Facebook. We're going to be the Facebook church. I check GoDaddy all the time to see if domains are available. So I just checked to see if Facebook.church is available, and it is not available.
Of course.
But I'm curious who has it. So when I go to search for it, I can't find anything. So I'll probably check the Whois information after our podcast. But Facebook is always doing some incredible new things. I mean, every week they've got a new announcement. Jay, what are some of the new things that you're reading on Mashable or wherever else about Facebook?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that has happened recently is obviously them, talking about doing the dislike button. There's been a lot of rumors about it. I do think personally, the dislike button is something that feels necessary, because there are a lot of examples, like when somebody loses a loved one or something, like you don't know how to react. Like you're kind of like, I want them to know that I saw this. So the appropriate response is like commenting below and saying praying. Yeah. And then there's other things that are just straight out negative. I don't know. You got like some racist uncle or something that says something, but like, I feel like, that's them opening up, or drunk uncle from SNL. That it definitely feels like it's appropriate. I know there's all sorts of, stuff that can happen, and the church potentially has the opportunity to really get a hit here on some of those things, especially if you tick somebody off, this stuff gets disliked. But I feel like that's going to happen. That's the big thing. And I think churches need to be ready for the dislike button and not freak out. Not everybody can agree with you. That's part of it. Having opinions is most likely somebody doesn't have that opinion, but for you, right before we were jumping on, you were actually sharing with me some news that literally was breaking hours before that I didn't even know about. An upgrade on, since you didn't share the book you're reading, tell me where you saw that news break.
So on Mashable is where, and that's where I get so much of my social media news. I check Mashable it seems like multiple times each day.
Oh yeah.
But they just announced that Facebook is updating the notes feature. You know, we used to, and I actually had a guy at the church who's a writer who would write a note on Facebook, you know, and it's kind of their blog formatting, the long form text type post on Facebook. It seemed like it had kind of disappeared. It actually doesn't show up in your feed unless you add it as an app now. And so they're bringing it back. They're enhancing it. They're kind of trying to compete with Medium, it seems. Naturally, Facebook is continuing to want to bring everything into Facebook rather than just posting links externally, especially when it comes to long form text. But you can actually do more images now, it seems. It looks like they're going to have a lot more functionality. It's still going to be simple, clean, multifunctional. But I would expect to see more long form content feeding right into Facebook. You know, I immediately, when I saw that, is I'm going to be interested to see what kind of insights we get on it. Yeah. And so even with Social Media Church Podcast, I imagine just as we posted on our blog through Squarespace, that we might natively post it on Facebook as well, right there within their notes feature. So we'll see.
I definitely think that if they can do it well, it obviously can work. But what I struggle with is, you know, I feel like right now we're dealing with this like inflated number thing with Facebook that, they did the whole Facebook, you know, the video stuff is going up and then finally right. They allowed people to start seeing views. I was helping a friend on some project, doing some consulting with, and he posted some video and it was like, in a matter of like 2 days, it had 1,000 views. And I was thinking, you know, that's news stream views. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how worthwhile that is, because that means that if I was just scrolling through my screen, that means I saw it. So it's almost like you're kind of getting numbers that are not really like real. Like, and it's like, it's good. And I'm not saying that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, there's good and bad there, but it feels like there needs to be an extra layer. Like, how many people stayed there and watched it for a couple minutes or watched, you know what I mean? Like, because I know this at my church at Saddleback, you know, Rick, our senior pastor, started doing Facebook stream. We talked about this a couple of shows ago.
Yeah.
You know, there was like 500,000 views on stuff, but it also is, you know, you got to figure out the context. So I feel like there needs to be more data, and that's where Facebook, obviously forever, especially with video, that's where YouTube dominates, is that you have all this back end data that you can actually see. You can see average minute of view. You can see where they're watching. And for those who are trying to analyze and ultimately trying to be strategic in figuring out where to invest, that's where it is. Facebook can be Facebook because they're Facebook and, you know, they're, you know, no longer in a, you know, some dorm room on a college campus. You know, they control everything. I mean, still Zuckerberg is an awkward guy. I mean, he did his Facebook stream and it was the most awkward. Like, I feel like if I ran him into a party, like I would have to be like, God would be telling me, be nice to this guy, be nice to this guy. Don't say anything mean, be nice to him. But like the bully in me would come out. I don't know why, but when I saw him standing there, I'm like, he's like a billionaire. How is that? How does that?
I'll say though, he is still so unbelievably smart. Like when I, you know, as awkward as he is, kind of quirky socially, you hear kind of the depth of his thoughts. Even in one of his videos when he did the live stream on Facebook, he was showing his office and his desk out in the open and how intentional he is to have the exact same desk as everybody else at Facebook. And the meeting room that he meets in is all clear glass. He doesn't have these kind of back room, you know, is Zuck in there? Is who's in there meeting with him? It's all out in the open. They want this kind of open space, even within their workplace. And what blows me away is so many organizations, if they were where Facebook is, they'd be slow to adjust because they wouldn't want to lose everybody.
Yeah.
Yet Facebook is updating notes. You know, they're adding, you know, the dislike button. And then the other news that came out this week is the virtual reality that they're going all in with Oculus Rift, with kind of this partnership with Samsung, it seems like, with a $99 headset coming out for Christmas. It's, you know, they're really getting, you know, into that virtual reality experience, you know, and it's, I can't even understand what he's talking about, but he says, I want to get into virtual reality so people can create. So they're really working on something with virtual reality with Oculus Rift in conjunction with 3D printing so that people can create these physical, tangible experiences where they can experience anything, anywhere, is what Zuck says. I have a hard time understanding that.
Do you hang out with him? Can you call him Zuck? Like, I don't think you can.
I mean, we're buddies, you know? Zuck, we're, you know, yeah. But Zuck, we go back to our college dorm days.
Yeah. When you say 3D print, I'm sorry, I apologize. When 3D printing, like, I just picture like food replicators from Star Trek or something. Like, that's what immediately my mind goes.
But that's where we are, you know, in the world. I mean, like, I can go down to like Home Depot and buy a 3D printer, and my kids can create a coffee cup, and we can print it at our house. And I mean, I think the reality of that kind of generation coming up, if they can think about it, they can create it. Where I when I was a kid, I took apart a black and white TV. And that was the closest thing to like innovation that I got to be a part of. I couldn't just create, I mean, Legos was as creative as I could be.
Yeah.
But they literally can create anything they can dream of, both virtually and physically. It's incredible. And I think, you know, really the church has opportunities. We talked about this in a previous podcast with virtual reality and what's going to happen there. But a $99 headset is an unbelievable price.
Yeah.
I see more and more TV shows coming out with it, movies coming out with it. And I really hope that the church is going to come out with some great online worship type experiences for virtual reality as Facebook and interactive, you know, and looking at how do we become interactive. But we can't fathom it now, but we couldn't have fathomed mobile, you know, the way it was 10 years ago. And so I think we just have to be constantly pushing our thought process and understanding around the new technologies.
Yeah. And if you're listening right now and you don't get VR, like you're like, what is that? You know, we'll put in the show notes the previous episode, but definitely, you know, Google has done a lot with Google Cardboard with pushing that forward and making VR, you know, mobile accessible. You know, we all have, you know, Niels and I have kind of the cheap glasses that you can put it on, but
right. There's
no doubt. Like I was reading a story. There was two VR stories this week. One, Cartoon Network had partnered with some developer and created a VR experience for one of their video games. And I saw it, like I didn't play it, but I saw the experience and it definitely looked sweet to me. Like I really wanted to do it, but my set wouldn't do it. Like, cause what my set doesn't have, it doesn't have the hands. Like I can't do the gesture with it. And then it was Daredevil, the Netflix series. You could watch, like Netflix had done some pilot where you could watch the entire series in VR, and the Mashable writer had said something around the idea of that it just changed his experience. He never wanted to go back to anything because it was a completely different focus. And so I think people listening now are getting that all we do is rip off stuff from Mashable. Like
that is basically this podcast is we look at, I mean, I'm not kidding, Jay. We look at Mashable and say, what does this mean for the church? You know, this isn't complicated. And I think people are always asking me like, where do you learn this stuff? Well, I Google. You know, like I go to Mashable and I Google.
Yeah, Facebook Trends.
Facebook Trends is a huge one.
I just a couple of nights ago, my Jody like leaned over and told me something I didn't know. And I was like, what the heck? You never know anything that's happening. Facebook and I was like, Trends. I felt offended. Yeah. And she saw it somebody. I was like, dang it. You know, it's like, no, I know Meta World Peace is coming to the Lakers before you knew. Okay. So check out the show notes. We talked about a bunch of different previous episodes and different links. Check out those links. Check it out. Remember, use the hashtag SMC podcast. And also, please subscribe to our email list on socialmedia.church. We got some very exciting news. We want to help churches get on Apple TV very quick and easy and affordable. So we're going to have some news in that area here very soon. So go to socialmedia.church and subscribe to a new newsletter. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.